Borough Talks, the Borough Market podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hashtrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this, plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser-known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market podcast. Follow on Spotify today.
So if your life looks successful on paper, but your body feels tired, restless, or quietly resentful, if you've outgrown the role that you've built but don't know what comes next, you're not having a breakdown, you might be having a graduation. And so today we're talking about impact alignment and how do you stop living your life, a life your soul no longer fits. And the way the world is right now, I feel like a lot of people are feeling exactly this way. It's like they're in a void. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's going to happen next, which is causing people to shut down and feel really anxious and blind. And so Aeon Archer is here to talk about all of this stuff. And so this episode is for the person who feels misaligned and wants to get back into alignment. The secret is, you guys, you're actually evolving. Aeon, it's so good to have you back.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. I'm so happy to be back.
Yes, it's so good to see you. Looks like you're in sunny Mexico. Jealous.
It's really nice here. I mean, it's funny because once you've lived here for a while, 78 feels cold. So this morning I was all bundled up in my hoodie and my sweats, and I was like freezing because it was 78 degrees outside. So
I do not feel sorry for you. I can tell you that. So, Aeon, I'd love to start here. You've often said that there came moments in your life where your soul no longer fit inside the life you had created. Can you talk about that a little bit and tell us more?
Well, I mean, where I would like to start is, I don't think that there is a person on this earth who isn't born, and at some point in time, like very early in life, the thought comes, I want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. I want to make a difference in this world. And then, and you know, and as we grow older, our first thought is, I want to be a police officer. I want to be a fireman, because those are the people we see making a difference in the world. But then what happens is we get on this rat race, this hamster wheel, once we become adults, and we start to lose vision of that drive to make an impact, to make a difference in the world. And we replace that for this constant chase of paying next month's utilities, the constant chase of putting food on the table, the constant chase of how am I going to pay my bills every single month. And so it's like that energy of, I mean, everybody in this world is born to make a difference. Because that's one of the very first thoughts that we have when we're children is, I want to make a difference. But then, you know, there comes a point where that life just stops fitting, where like the calling your soul came here to fulfill is so loud and oftentimes can become very painful energetically, emotionally, spiritually, that like you have two choices to make. And for me, that was most definitely the case, because the life that I had built was just, which was making sure that I could pay my bills every month, constantly trying to more, like trying to make more money and never really succeeding at it, but making enough to where I could survive. But there was this thing inside of me that remembered that little boy who wanted to make a difference. And at the same time, there was this reality that hit me as like, what I'm doing now is so small compared to the impact that I'm here to make. And so I had to make a change. You know, and so at 38 years old, I had to stop doing what I already knew how to do very well to survive. And I had to step out into this space of the unknown, where I hadn't cultivated the skills, the structures, the systems to make the impact that my soul was aching to create. And so in that space, it gets really, it can be challenging, because it's like, you know, you have, it's you're looking for this alignment. You're trying to align. You know, the message that you're, first of all, you're trying to like distill and understand, okay, what impact is my soul asking me to make? Because there's so many different areas that you can make an impact in. And at first, like the impact for me, it was like really big. But like when you're trying to market a really big impact, it gets really difficult to find a market for that impact. And so it's like, I had to bring it. I'm in the process now of like, okay, I need to really decide whose lives am I here to affect. And in that process, you know, you may affect other lives along the way, but I have to decide, okay, who is it that I'm here to serve? And that can be really difficult because there's a lot of opportunity for service in the world right now. But it's also, okay, so I want to serve now. I'm focused now on serving young adults in college. And so that's who I want to serve. But now what skills do I need? What language do I need to know in order to speak their language? So that way the message that I have can be of service to them. And it's just this really weird space of like being in this void because, you know, and it's scary because if I don't, you know, in order for there to be an energy exchange and to support myself, it has to be marketable because that's the capitalistic society we live in. So I have to be able to serve and support myself at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's a really weird place to be in because serving in my mind has always been you do it for free. But see, that doesn't work because the more there's an energetic exchange when it comes to finances, to abundance, the greater my impact can be. So mm-hmm. really refining like who I'm here to serve, how I can serve them, and packaging it in a way that is marketable is actually the best way I can be of service. Because by doing that, the abundance flows, then I have more resources to be of service to more people. And so there's that weird thing of like, you know, in this resistance to charging for being of service, but this exchange has to happen in order for the impact to grow, which comes back into alignment. Like, do I feel worthy of charging for the gift that I bring to the world? Mm-hmm. You know, what emotions do I have around money? What skills do I need that I don't have already? How can I take some of my skills that I had from my previous version of me and translate those over and you know, kind of not throw everything into the trash, but there are some things, some life lessons and skills that we pick up no matter what we're doing that can then be transferable into this new impact that I'm trying to create. And so it's been an interesting journey and I'm in the process of it. And so it's like when you're in the process of it and if you're in the void, it's like, but I need to make money to survive. Okay. But, you know, but do I really know how to sell? Like, am I really offering something that, you know, that's helpful to people? Do I know how to help people? And then I'll get somebody, you know, friends and people in my circle remind me of like how powerful my message is. I'm like, okay, it's there. But then I go back into that old pattern of thinking. And so it's like, what am I doing every day to keep my thoughts, my emotions, my actions, and integrity and moving myself forward one step at a time.
I feel like it's humans, like the subconscious mind loves predictability and routine. And so when the subconscious mind feels unsure, it's like really uncomfortable. And so I like a lot of people don't realize that, right? And like the world also reorganizes as we're building. And so as we're losing things, say we lose a job and we feel lost, we don't know how we're going to make money. It's there and it's happening. And I believe the universe is always working for us. But I agree with what you said. We have to learn how to ground ourselves in that moment and remember this moment now. Because I mm-hmm. like I myself lately have been so like effed up with like what's happening in the future. What am I supposed to be doing? And it almost feels like I'm on a new planet and I don't have a routine anymore. And I'm just like, what do I do with myself? And so like, I feel like there's so much energy seeping from my body because of that, which makes me feel tired, which makes me feel uninspired, which makes me question my self-worth, which is making me lose my confidence. Do you feel like that is how misalignment shows up in the body?
Oh yeah. Like I just got cold chills because that's exactly the same path that I mean, I've managed to move to the other side of it. But for 3 weeks, I was in that place where I'm in this unknown and everything that's supposed to be happening and everything that we're building is all so big that I'm so overwhelmed by the unknown. Like, I see what we're working towards, but I can't see the steps to get there. And so then I start to collapse. I start to go within myself. I start to disassociate because of, like, I know we're capable of getting there, and I see the vision clearly, which is a blessing to see the vision clearly. Like, this is where we're going. It's really nice. But if I stick in that vision and I don't stick and I don't build the bridge between now and there, I just get so overwhelmed that I freeze. It's like decision paralysis. And then the more days that I'm stuck in that frozen state, my self-esteem goes down. I get foggier, like, and I get over even more overwhelmed. It's getting closer. What am I going to do? Like, and so what I had to do is really, and it sounds so simple, but when you're in it, it's really hard. Is I realized that the way my pattern works is if I don't have clear, structured next steps, everything, and it only has to be two steps ahead. It can't be more than two steps ahead at a time. Because if it's more than two steps ahead at a time, then I get overwhelmed. So, like, I've had to check in with myself and say, okay, how does this feel in my body? How does this feel in my mind? Do I feel inspired? I can really easily be inspired by the two next steps. But when I start getting any further than that, I start losing inspiration. And so, because, like, I'm a creative. And so if it's any more steps than that, I feel caged in. So it's like learning what works for me, what works for, like, how I can build things, learning my own process and kind of getting to know, like, okay, what is uncomfortable? What isn't uncomfortable? Like, what am I able to process at any given time? And so, for example, today I'm 10 months sober. And that's amazing. Super exciting. But, like, yeah, that 10 months was built one day at a time. And so, like, if you had asked me before I got sober, I couldn't even imagine getting 10 months sober. Like, I'd gone 20 years struggling to get 6 months at a time. And so, like, today I have 10 months sober, and that was built one day at a time. And so when we stick with the now and we ground ourselves in this moment and in our breath, because, like, we share every moment of our lives with our breath. You know, the moment we're born, we take a breath. The moment we leave, we take our last breath. And so the breath is literally the inseam of our soul. So, like, it's with us always. And so I just come back to my breath, and I have to dial myself in and be like, okay, what is the next thing that I can do to move myself toward that goal? Something small. Because sometimes if I get the tendency to say, okay, the next thing I need to do, actually have like 70 next things inside of it. That doesn't work either. It has to be something. And in those small moments moving forward, my self-esteem starts to come back. The inspiration starts coming back. You know, and then I'm able to push myself forward into the unknown. Because literally every single day of my life right now is I'm building something I've never built before. And it also requires community, leaning on the people who are on this journey with you, who support you. It's communicating to others how you're feeling. It's really amazing how if I just say how I'm feeling and I let it out, then it makes space for the better feeling to come behind it instead of holding in like that negative feeling inside. And then something new that, I mean, I think I've probably always known this, but something I've really been engaging. Oftentimes before, I felt like a victim to my emotions. Like, my emotions happened to me. They didn't happen because of me. My emotions happened because of external circumstances. So, like, I let the world decide my emotional state. But when I come back to that stillness in my breath, like, I get to decide. Like, I can cultivate whatever emotional state that I want. And the more we practice that, the more I'd say, okay, what emotional state am I going to be in when I have achieved this goal that I have set for myself? Okay, let me just be in that emotional state already. And then the next steps, it's kind of like your emotions are the flashlight that are shining the way to what steps are next. You know, and it becomes really easy to take those next steps because they become so much clearer than if I'm clouded by all of the crap. Like, if I'm clouded by letting the world decide my emotional state, because the world is in a lot of distortion right now. So it's not a safe place to let the world decide my emotional state, because our emotions are what create our reality. They're the guidepost that the universe forms matter around. And so
Yeah. Let's, and to be real, sometimes the next step for me is just putting like good food in my body. It's like, it doesn't even have to be a business step. It's like, you know what? I can't see it or feel it right now, so I'm just going to nourish myself. And so I find that helpful. What about defining impact alignment? What does that mean?
So impact alignment is when your energy, your actions, and your choices match the impact your soul says you're here to make. Now, what impact is my soul here to make? How do I even know what that is? And so, you know, that's for me, what I have done is, and it takes time because, you know, one day I'll think, okay, this is the impact I'm here to make. And the next day I'm like, oh, maybe not. Maybe this, that, it doesn't feel as good as it did before. And then I'm like, okay, this is like, I can tell you, like in my speaker lab program, I have literally written like 15 speeches for 15 different industries because those were the impact I was here to make. And that was yesterday. So now I'm in today. But then it's like, okay, sitting down and like really asking yourself, like, joy is the messenger of the soul. Like joy is what tells us, okay, this is the impact my soul is here to make. So what is it that brings you joy? And then you start to like conceptualize around that. Okay, like what's happening in those moments when I'm experiencing joy? What am I sharing with other people? What is happening for them in that exchange? And then you start to be able to see, okay, this is what my soul is here to do. Because joy is the guidepost for alignment. And so then once you're able to see that, then you're able to say, okay, well, how can I package this in a way that I can make it my life? What actions do I need to take to package this joy in a way? Because like joy is contagious. And so how can I package my unique expression of joy and sharing that with other people in a way that aligns with actions that can then start to create abundance for myself and everybody around me. And so then it's in those moments of awareness where you start to like conceptualize these things that you start to see clearly, okay, this is what I need to do. Now, what I have found is very, it can be challenging, you know, because I want to live in alignment. I want my energy, my body, my soul, my actions, my thoughts, everything to be singularly focused. Because that's when I'm at my most powerful. That's when I'm in the quote unquote flow state. And everything is just like, yeah, this feels good. I'd like to spend a lot of time. I'd like to spend as much time as possible in the quote unquote flow state. And like when you're in alignment, that's what it feels like. But what I have found is there's so much information out there and so many people saying, I can help you get there with X, Y, and Z step. I can help you get there with X, Y, and Z step. That it becomes noisy. And it becomes harder to actually, you know, like you want to spend, I've wasted so much money trying to get there using other people's tools. But what I have found, like inside of me, every truth that I have ever needed, every step that I have ever needed, everything that I have ever needed to come into alignment already exists without anybody else. It just takes like sitting still long enough to start to untangle the knots, to start to clear the channel, to start to release all of these expectations from other people, and to be honest. I mean, honesty is what clears the debris to allow joy to be fully expressed. And then it clears the debris to bring clarity to like what impact your soul is here to make.
That's a fact. There is so many people selling something to make money and they claim that it's going to change your life. And that's really difficult because when it's so frustrating when you're putting so much money into different things and nothing really is changing, and it makes you almost feel more lost. And it's so hard to trust people too, because everyone is claiming to have these tools.
Well, and as a coach, like I don't claim that I have anything that you don't already have. All I do is I help guide you to your own resources, to the resources that you didn't even know that you had. And so like, I have nothing to sell you except for reflection. Like I reflect back to you what you already have. I help you uncover knowledge that already exists within you. Like I have nothing to offer you that you don't already have. And I think that, you know, cause you are not, I don't come from a place of scarcity. I'm abundant. You aren't scarce. You are abundant. every single one of us comes naturally from this place of abundance. And so there is nothing that you're lacking. There's just, you know, maybe a blockage that's preventing you from seeing your own reflection on your divine, infinitely perfect nature. And I just come with the Windex and the paper towels, and I just clean off the mirror so you can see yourself a little more clearly.
Yeah, I love that. People need to remember that all the answers are within themselves. It's kind of like, you know, when I was in my 20s and I was searching for love, thinking that another human being was going to complete me and make me feel love in a way that, you know, fairy tales make it seem like it's going to be like. And the more I chased it, the further away I got from it, because I was running away from the love in myself, right? So people need to remember, but it's so easy to, you know, someone's offering something to make you feel better. And when you're vulnerable and when you just feel crappy, like that's the moment when you're like, I need help. And unfortunately there's the wrong kind of help, but the help that you're giving people is the right kind, because you're mirroring back to people that it's already within them. It's like you're acting as a channel for them to recognize that.
I mean, and that's the thing, is whatever we see in others is us. And so it's like, you know, and throughout my life, you know, especially early in life, when I would see all of these negative traits, like I was hyper-focused on all the bad traits people had. It was like, well, that was because like they so exist inside of me. And so like learning how to like, and then even when I met one of my best friends, you know, who really changed my life, is one of the first things he told me was, because I idolized him, because I was like, he is amazing and perfect, and I want to be just like him. And one of the things he was always telling me is like, I am you and you are me. Like, you, what you see in me is because it exists in you. And like, and that changed my life. I was like, oh, wait a minute. So I am just as capable of being this type of person as anybody else, or as he is. And it really, you know, I think that when we meet people, they're more so guideposts to who we are capable of becoming. And then also learning how to market my coaching services in a way that isn't exploitative. When, you know, because I want to always come from a place of integrity. And, you know, there are a lot of marketing tactics that are very exploitative. And so it seems like those marketing strategies are much louder than, you know, strategies that are come from a place of integrity. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, okay, well, you know, but what I have come to realize is like, when you stay in integrity, the people that will be attracted to you are people who are ready for that level of container. It feels like it's a slow game. It's a long game.
I'm seeing, as you're saying that, I'm seeing an image of a turtle, but like the turtle always wins the race.
Exactly.
With addiction, going through addiction, right? Like I can relate to that feeling of, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I truly believe I am, but I feel the worst I've ever felt in my life. But I know there's like light at the end of this tunnel. And when I look back, I'm like, holy crap, you know, like I did it. That's incredible. But I didn't see a way out at the time, you know, but everything always works out. But true transformation happens with incremental steps, millimeter by millimeter. And all of this noise out there, people claiming to, you know, major change over the next 48 hours. Like, I don't know. Look, I just can't do that. It's not real.
Yeah. It's inauthentic. And they're just casting a net. It's exceptionalism, which is the same thing that the news uses to drive attention. It's just a way to capture your attention and get you to spend money. Sometimes I just have to step back and be like, okay, for me personally, I can look back over the past 10 months of my life and say, incrementally, my life has consistently improved day by day.
Yeah.
And so even when I'm in those days where I feel like my life is not improving and nothing is changing, it's still changing. And it's still improving. Whether I want, you know, because I've set this into motion and because I continue to take those small steps incrementally small. So like I can either engage in the incrementally small change that's happening in my life, or I can, you know, wail over it. Like, oh, this is so like so hard. Nothing's changing
Exactly.
fast enough, you know. But that doesn't serve me any
Not with
good.
me this morning.
Like that doesn't serve me. But like showing up, and this is where it comes back to alignment, because one of the things I realized today when I was at the gym is there's a difference when I go to the gym and I'm like just really quick working it out. I just want to get it over with. Like it just feels different, and like nothing's really happening. I don't feel sore the next day, which is weird. But when I go to the gym and I move with intention, with complete presence, with whatever part of my body I'm working out, and it's really cool because in Mexico you can get a trainer 5 days a week for $25 a week. It's amazing. So I
Wow.
have a new yeah. So I have a
I'm
trainer every
coming.
day. I have a trainer every day, and all I have to pay is $25 a week. So it's great.
Wow.
And so, like, he forces me to like slow down in all of my movements and to move every elbow, every bend that I have, I don't know what you want to call it, to move everything with so much intention. And the
Yeah.
next day, I'm like, I can't even sit on the toilet because my butt muscles hurt so bad. And so it makes a difference, and it can feel painful to engage with like that incremental process. But it's only suffering if I choose to lament over it. And so, you know, and pain is growth. Suffering is optional. And so when we're in alignment and we're engaged with our lives, with our energy, with our body, with our minds, with our hearts, with our spirit, and we are doing the work to create a funnel for that energy that is laser focused, anything is possible. Not to say that it's going to happen tomorrow, but anything is possible because we are engaging in the process of manifestation. And, you know, we can say we do manifestation, but if we aren't doing the alignment work behind it, nothing that we want to manifest is going to happen. You know, a manifestation is that pooling of all of our resources and focusing it in one direction. And then it
Coherence.
happens. Coherence, yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Can we talk about the three layers of misalignment?
Yes, okay. So there are three layers of misalignment: energy misalignment, values misalignment, and identity misalignment. Energy misalignment is when you're always saying yes, even when your body says no.
How do we know when our body's saying no?
You feel it. You feel like this heaviness, this lethargy, this like it's almost like something is holding you back and you're having to force yourself forward. Now, there's a reverse side to that. You say no when your body says yes. And so there, you know, I set a lot of, you know, I've done a lot of work where I've set with myself to really understand and understand what my no means, what my no feels like, what my yes means, what my yes feels like, because our no's and our yeses are some of the most powerful choices that we make in every moment of our lives. And so, like, what does my yes feel like in my body? Because, like, my body will tell me yes before the words come out of my mouth. My body will tell me no before the words come out of my mouth. Because my body is like this really big antenna that senses all of the energy around me before my mind has even had a chance to process it. And so when something is in alignment for me and my body says yes and I'm wanting to say no, what limiting belief am I holding? Because I'm holding myself back from this yes. So there's like either a limiting belief, there's some cognitive distortion, there is something inside of me that's saying I am not worthy of this yes.
Yeah.
Or when my body is saying no and I'm saying yes, what am I wanting to escape from? Because oftentimes when it comes for me, like when my body's saying no and I'm saying yes, I'm seeking some type of escape from my reality. Or I'm seeking to please somebody. Like this person wants something for me, but I really don't want to do it. I don't feel aligned for it, but I'm going to say yes because I want to keep them happy. other people's happiness is not my responsibility.
That
Only,
or
I'm
we
only
have to pay
responsible.
bills, right? So we often do it with jobs and work that we do.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, and that's when that was the first sign for me, actually, that I was way out of alignment, is not wanting to wake up in the morning to go to work. Because it was just, it just was like grinding teeth every single day. And that's when I knew, okay, something big has to change, and it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But I, one, am going to live longer, more happily if I make this change than if I'm grinding my teeth every single day for the next 15, 20 years just to pay my bills and not have anything to show at the end of it, except for a week of vacation and healthcare insurance. Like, I'm going to need that healthcare insurance for sure if I'm grinding my teeth every day to go to work.
Totally. I have an example of my body saying yes, but my mind saying no. And the reason I said my body said, or my mind said no, was out of fear. And so I was recently around this attractive man, and I felt such a connection to him, but it was overwhelming. And my limiting beliefs like stepped in, and it was like I was paralyzed. I'm like, why can I not even look in his direction? Yet I'm so intrigued and attracted to him. And so that was an example of my body, like, yes, 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 yes. But my mind is like, oh, no, this is too overwhelming, and you're not worthy of this love. And yeah, it was just awful. And I like regret it to this day.
But what a beautiful, you know, and it's like, what would have it taken for you to lean into that fear?
Yeah, I know. It was like this fear. Suddenly I felt like I was 5 years old, and I was going to say something stupid, and I was so self-conscious, and yeah, it was just bizarre. I actually got out of that whole situation. I left, and I went home from this place, and yeah, I was like, what am I doing?
Oh, I've definitely had many experiences like that. So what I mean, I'm kind of curious. What was the takeaway from that experience for you?
The takeaway from that was I did not at that moment believe I was worthy of love.
And so then what was the, and how did you counter that distorted belief?
I
Like
sat
what
in
actions,
stillness
what
to
actions?
understand it.
But like, so for me, it's like, whenever that happens, like I have to take, you know, it's good to process it and to think about it. But like, I have to take action. Like there has to be some action, because that's creating the momentum to challenge the belief. Because like, if I just sit and think about it, like no momentum in the real world is actually pushing against that belief, because that belief was triggered by something that happened in the real world. And so like, what I've learned to do is find ways to challenge that by taking an action that
Okay, so
challenges that
I went
distorted
back
belief.
to the same spot the next week to do the same thing, even though I was scared shitless. And so I
Oh,
walked
see,
in
there we go.
and
Yes,
I
there we
put
go.
my, yeah, I put my phone away and I said hi to everybody that was there. And I just grinned and bared it. Cause it was like riding a bike. You know, if you fall off and you don't get back on, you're going to never want to do it again.
Right, right. Oh, there we go. Okay, cool. See, that's exactly what, that's what I was looking for. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
So what about values? That's the second one, values misalignment.
So values misalignment is my calendar doesn't reflect what I claim matters to me. So it's when our actions and what we say matter don't match. And we see this, I mean, from a personal level, it's like first sitting down, like what really matters to me. For me, like some of the things that matter to me are independence, creativity, love, you know, like what are the basic things that matter to you most? And then how do I build a life around those values, instead of like, you know, building a life that's pleasing other people, or like just putting things on the calendar to stay busy so I don't have to like think about what's really going on inside of me emotionally. But I mean, it's interesting because we see this in a grand scale, like on the macrocosm in our country right now in America, because it's like the values that the country was built on
are definitely not the values that are operating, you know, on a macro, on a macroscopic level. And so there's a huge, like, that is what values misalignment looks like on the macroscopic scale. And so, you know, if that's what it, if it looks like that much chaos on the macroscopic scale, imagine how much internal chaos that creates on the microscopic scale. And so, and the macrocosm is a reflection of the microcosm. So, like, this tells me that there are a lot of people in the United States and in the world who do not have values alignment in their lives. Because if there was an alignment of their values with their actions and with how they treat the world, how they interact with the world, how they spend their time, then the micro, the macrocosm would reflect that. And so when I see what's going on in the world, what I, what it has me do, instead of like lament over the state of the world, it has me take a step back and reflect. And is my life in alignment with what I say matters to me? And then do my actions match that alignment? And so just by simply asking that question, like, opportunities come up throughout the day for me to check myself, to check it. Like, okay, you know, does this match? You know, like, am I, you know, am I waking up every morning? Am I finding a way to be creative? Because I say creativity matters to me. Am I shying away from opportunities to be creative? And am I building a life that leads me towards financial independence? Am I doing the hard work, which is really hard work, like, sometimes, to like start to build the systems and the structures in my life that will lead me to financial independence? And so it's kind of really just kind of taking a moment with yourself and identifying what matters to you. And then in a small methodical way, like, consciously with intent, like, making plans and decisions that are aligned with what you say matters.
Yeah. And so there's the third layer is the identity misalignment.
So identity misalignment is, I am living from who I had to become, not who I am. So
I think that's a lot of people.
You know, when you say I'm living from who I had to become, that is victim mentality. You know, that that is coming from life from a place of victimhood. It's like, I had to be this person in order to survive. I had to do these things in order to survive. I had to be a handyman for 15 years, even though it was not serving my soul, in order to keep putting food on the table. It's like, it's like, I am backed into a corner, and this corner has decided who that, who I am. And that's not the case, because we wake up every day and we get to choose who we are. And, but when we have built a life around an identity that we didn't choose, there's a lot of resistance when we wake up one day and we decide to be who we really are. And it takes a lot of courage. Like, courage isn't just like, you know, riding a scary roller coaster or jumping out of a plane. Courage is being willing to stand up as who you are unapologetically, honestly, truthfully, and to deal with the repercussions of that when you make that choice. Because once we make that choice, the world will resist it, especially the people in our lives will resist it. You know, our employers will, like, there will be so much resistance because we have created this momentum of who we had to become.
And it's so sad, and to think that being authentic is like the most courageous thing we can do, you know, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah. And, but, you know, the really, this is the painful part, is like, when we wake up and decide to be unapologetically authentic, we go, that's when we have made the choice to step into the void. Because there is undoubtedly a void that follows. And that
it's
void,
like jumping out of a plane without a parachute, knowing you're going to make it, but not quite sure how.
or where you're going to land.
Am I? Yeah.
And but the thing is, like, there's a void as the, as all of the things that did not serve who your soul came here to become start to fall away because they no longer have place. They no longer have a place in your life. And there is this, and I've gone through that a couple times. And, you know, I wouldn't always make it through. I would end up resorting back to the old version of me because it was more comfortable. You know, and I always call it, it's like the pinhole, it's the eye of the needle that you have to squeeze yourself through to get to the other side.
And the thing is, like, it feels really lonely in there.
And when you're in that space, it feels like that loneliness is going to last forever.
But
But then when you get to the other side, now there's a whole set, the whole world opens, but there are a whole new set of challenges. Because when I start meeting people who are aligned with me, I am confronted with my shadows. I am confronted with those shadows, and I have to integrate them. I have to move through them. I have to release them. I have to surrender them. And it's beautiful and painful because my shadows keep me, at least I thought, kept me safe, but my shadows kept me small. And so, you know, it's when I meet people who, like, I look up to and I'm like, am I worthy to be like, I could never be this person. Like, this person is amazing. Like, there's no way I could ever match. But if you're in front of somebody, you are their energetic equal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at who are the people around you, you are their energetic equal. And that landscape will continue to change as we do the work. Because I have so many amazing people around me today that are incredible. And the more I do the work, and the more I integrate my shadow, these people just kind of come, like, that are incredible, like, that are making like $5 million a month. And like, I'm like, what? This is like, and then I have to deal with, okay, what are my misalignments when it comes to money? Because this person is a life coach making $5 million a month. I'm a life coach making $0 a month. So there's a misalignment there. But if this person is in front of me, they are my equal. Like, we are in an energetic alignment. And if they're willing to engage in conversation with me, then we are equals, and they are my peer. And so it's cool because as you do the work, the entire landscape changes. But it's moving through that void, and choosing every single day not to give up. That is the most courageous thing that anybody can do. But on the other side of it, there is a very colorful and beautiful life, full of impact and amazing people, and it's worth it. But it doesn't. When you're in it, it doesn't really quite feel like it. But who you are is the most valuable thing that you have. It's who you came. It's what you came into this world with. It's what you take with you when you go. Is who you are, and that's how you really create impact. Is being authentic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just that I relate it to, or can relate it to, a situation I had in a yoga class where I kept going to the same class and I was doing the same movements and I was so good at them and I was so, like, overly confident, and I'm like kind of looking around, and the instructor tells me later, you need to start doing something different because I see that you're really comfortable in class, and like, sure, you're confident, but let's see you move to the next step, right? And then so I'm starting to do these other things. I'm like, holy crap, my body can't move this way, and now I'm intimidated, and now I'm like, I feel this small again, and I'm like, I know nothing. And so growth is so challenging. I was just in a room of people on Friday. We had this big breath work session together, and it was all people that I felt so in alignment with. But when it came to sharing our experience, I got really shy and quiet, which is very unlike me when I'm around other people. But because I actually respected these people, I felt so scared to like open up and share. And so again, it was like, these people I wanted to be around, but it was so scary to me to let them see the real me. And so, yeah, there's another, that's the shadow work that I have to do, you know, to get through that. It's fascinating.
What's so interesting is last night when we were on the roof to do our devotion, you had the crescent moon, but it was like the bowl shaped crescent moon where it's open to the sky. And directly underneath the crescent moon, like directly underneath the crescent moon, was Saturn. So like, you have the crescent moon and it's Saturn, and it's perfect. And so in yogic tradition, when you have that happen low in the sky, it is a sign that the student becomes the teacher again, the teacher becomes the student again. So it's like this cycle of teacher, student, teacher, student, teacher, student, that we all go through. And it's like, you know, once you have perfected this one area, there is another layer yet to come. And as long as we're always able to put ourselves back into the seat of the student, we will continue to expand. But when we get to this place where we think we have all the answers and there's nothing else for us to learn, that we, our expansion stops. And like, that's a whole another layer of ego, you know, that we have to overcome in order to put ourselves back into the receptive It's this journey of, you know, receptive. What's the opposite of receptive? Giving, receptive, giving, receptive, giving. But it's an interesting dance. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So if someone is like listening right now and they feel so out of alignment, what are some of the first steps that you would offer to them to take in order to feel more in alignment?
Well, I have a simple framework. It's called impact, integrity, investment, and implementation. So impact is when you take time to sit in silence and you ask yourself, who am I here to serve? And what changes for them because I exist? And when you come into this place of like, who am I here to serve? It's no longer coming from this place of give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want more, 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 more. It's like, what do I have to give? And that when you come into that mindset of like, who am I here to serve? It's like the entire, there's a shift that happens in your mind and everything starts to look different. And then once you've discovered like, hey, who am I here to serve? What difference am I here to make? It comes to integrity. What choices proved that this impact is real? What am I doing to be of service that are in alignment, that's in alignment with who I am drawn to serve? And when you serve, for me, being of service creates joy. And that's how I know when I'm in my sweet spot. That's how I know like these are the people I'm meant to serve. This is the way I'm meant to serve because it gives me like unfettered joy, so much happiness and joy and energy. And then what choices am I making with integrity to cultivate the ability to serve in that capacity? And then investment. Where does my time, money, attention go right now? Like, is my time, money, and attention going to the things that bring me joy in the way that I'm able to be of service to people? And then implementation, which is we've talked a lot about during this episode today, which is what is the next small aligned action in the next 24 hours that moves me in that direction? Because a lot of times people feel like if it doesn't happen overnight, I'm never going to have the energy to do it. But like if it happened overnight, it would take more energy than I have the capacity to do. So it's like I have enough energy, especially in a really loud, boisterous, demanding world. I have enough energy to set aside to make one small step a day in that direction. And it's exponential. Like those small steps build and they turn. And then one small step is like three small steps, and three small steps is like six small steps. You know, it becomes exponential, and you, with intention, build systems that amplify your service. And that's been the hardest thing for me is like learning how to build systems that amplify my service. And that's where it really is helpful to have a coach who has systems in place already, so you don't have to recreate the wheel. Like Stacy has been really great for that, and you have been really great for that. Our business coach has been really great for that because he's already got systems in place. But it's like once you get to that place where you're really clear on your impact, those people seem to kind of find you, because the universe is conspiring for you to be of service. Like I said from the very beginning, we all come into this world, and one of our first thoughts is, I want to make a difference, because we're all here to make a difference. And the universe will conspire for that to happen because that's what we're here for.
What are some examples of small steps? Just so people know what you mean by that. What are some different ways that people can act?
So for me, small steps are sitting down for an hour before my podcast episode recording to collect my thoughts, because
That's
we've had
bad.
a couple, Lisa and I have had a couple recordings on the books, and then I show up and I'm just like not prepared. And so luckily today I sat actually for a couple hours and put myself into alignment. I asked myself like, what message do I want to get across? How do I want to help people? How do I want to show up for people today? And then I just got out of my own way. And a small step is being like finding space to be honest with yourself. And that requires really checking in, like how things feel for you, really being honest with the relationships and in your life that are no longer serving you, that are no longer
like helping support the person that you are becoming or the person that you are, and being fearless. It takes a level of fearlessness, and fearlessness doesn't have to be big. It could be a small decision that moves you in the direction of setting yourself free to like really shine and make an impact. Journaling is a really great way. Saying I'm going to journal once a day, and actually journaling once a day to clear your thoughts, get them down on paper, to clear some of the clutter out of your mind. Because once you clear the clutter, it's a lot easier to hear your truth. When you start to get all of these other things out of your head, and it kind of clears the noise. I'm a really big fan of going out into the middle of nowhere where there's no roads, well, as few roads as possible because you have to get there somehow, where there's no cell phone service. You're just sitting in silence in nature. Nature is a huge, huge, this is amazing. When you just sit outside and you just sit there quietly, like without all the noise, and you're far enough away from people that you can't feel their energetic cords pulling on you and are expecting things
yes.
from you. You're able to hear yourself and to hear your soul, what your soul is calling for. The small step is making time for those things and making them unnegotiable.
Yeah. So, Aeon, tell us more about the work that you do and where people can find you.
Okay, they can find, I'm an integrative healing arts practitioner, wellness coach, public speaker. I speak to colleges, universities, college level students about their impact alignment, about how to not become overwhelmed, how to really build a life that's not specifically driven on making a lot of money, but creating an impact that's joy driven and not financially driven. And helping people realize that it's the joy that leads to the financial abundance. That they don't have to be one over here and the other over there. They go together. And to clear the noise of the world's expectations of what everybody thinks that you're supposed to do, and really stepping into the alignment of who you are. You can find me at www.archershaw.guru. You can also find me on Instagram, Aeon Archer. Me and my partner here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, host 3-day immersions, 2-day immersions, 7-day immersions, yoga retreats, weekend workshops. We have a lot of really amazing things going on down here. We also host a weekly spiritual community service called Merkaba Temple. And you can learn more about that at www.merkabatemple.com.
Amazing, amazing. We'll have all of that in the show notes as well for everyone to have access to. Thank you so much for being here. It was so much fun and so worth the wait.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast, always.
Yes, and to our audience, choose one boundary, choose one devotion, and practice these things daily. When you feel like you're outgrowing your life, it means you are, and it's time to step into the void. It's not easy, but little tiny incremental millimeter steps daily will help you get to the next phase where your body will be in alignment. And that process, as hard as it is so worth it when you get to the other side. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until next time, everyone.
Birthday coming up? On Etsy, you can find your favorite person a gift as special as they are. Celebrate stylish Julia with a cute vintage jewelry box, or photography mad Paul with a customized leather camera strap, or your caffeine-loving dad with a handmade pour-over coffee maker. Don't just celebrate birthdays. Celebrate one-of-a-kind people with gifts that say, I get you on Etsy. Click or tap the banner to shop now.